Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We are in the Billy Meier case. I thought I'd give you a quick overview of who Billy Meier is before we dive back into Contact 31. Edward Albert Meier is a 78-year-old man. He lives in a tiny mountain village in Switzerland called Hinterschmidruti. It's about 53 minutes east of Zurich by automobile. It's a very beautiful place with, and at least in the summer, many green trees and plants and birds. And it's very interesting to watch Billy's videos. Billy is a very interesting man. He's written 40 books. He's extremely wise. His wisdom really is something you have to experience to really understand what I'm talking about. One of the books that I'm reading right now is called The Way to Live. And another very important book is called The Might of Thoughts, Macht der Gedanken in the German. And an additional book is very interesting. It's called The Psyche. Billy had his first extraterrestrial contacts back around 1945. He started to get telepathic messages from a man named Sfoth. Sfoth was an extraterrestrial human from a race of beings that originally allowed themselves to be called the Pleiadians, but they're not from our Pleiades, even though for centuries they allowed themselves to be called the Pleiadians. They are from a star system called the Pleiades star system, which is some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space and time configuration. These people, they haven't had war for 50,000 years. And one thing that they do most intensely is study what's called the creational natural laws, which are basically the laws that govern how our universe works. And they don't use terms like God, but they use the term universal consciousness to describe how the creator of our universe works. And there's this whole spiritual teaching associated with that, and we'll probably get into that in the second half of an hour. Billy had 11 years of contacts with Sfoth, and then after that, 11 years of contacts with a woman named Asket. He lived 11 years with a normal life with no extraterrestrial contact. Then about 1975, he started to get contacts with a woman named Semyase, who was the great-granddaughter of this man named Sfoth. She would land her beam ship there in Switzerland in the early contacts and step out and walk over to Billy, and they would sit and talk and have these very long discussions. This particular contact that we're talking about today is more than just a contact. It's Contact 31, occurred in July of 1975, I believe. And Billy was actually brought via a beam into Semyase's beam ship, which is a smaller disc-shaped craft. And he was taken on a tour of our solar system. And he got to see Venus and Mercury and some of the outer planets. And eventually they came back to the Earth and they viewed what was called in the 70s there the Apollo-Soyuz hookup, where the Apollo spacecraft connected with a Russian spacecraft called the Soyuz. And what was interesting there is there were other extraterrestrial craft there that were viewing this occurring, but they were all cloaked, just as Semyase's ship was invisible to people in the two Earth ships. So after they viewed the Apollo-Soyuz hookup, the beam ship traveled out to Jupiter And that's where the mothership was waiting. They went inside the mothership and traveled up to the bridge where Billy and Semyase are talking with Semyase's father, who is the commander of this mothership and whose name is Ptah. And Ptah starts out here and he says, "I see you do not know about the connection." Semyase's father, Ptah, had said that in former times his name had been used on Earth. And Ptah explains, "An ancestor of mine was in former times on your Earth and lived as one of your people at that time. He was what's called a JHWH, which is an acronym which stands for King of Wisdom. And these are humans that have reached what's called the fifth stage of evolution. And this is the highest level that you can be in before you lose the need for a physical body. Maybe we'll talk more about that today. Anyway, he was a JHWH and was joined by marriage to his wife, BASTH, Basti. He used the name Azai, Ptah. On your Earth, you still have very old traditions, tales, and legends about him." And Billy says, "Regrettably, this is not known to me, but I will search for this in our books to see if I can discover anything." Semyase said, "You surely will if you look at Egyptian and South American stories of gods, because therein lie many leads. For the most part, they stand in connection with events concerning Venus and other planets in your solar system." But Semyase explains that Venus doesn't have actual people living on it. And there's this discussion that goes on between Billy and Semyase, and they talk about how they have a language translator on the ship, and even they wear language translators. So even though Ptah doesn't speak German, Billy is hearing German. Ptah does speak at least one Earth language, though, Greek, they mention here in this conversation. Well, they're standing in this bridge in the cupola, and Ptah starts to describe some things that they can see here. He says, "In fact, I see outside the cupola the star formations are slowly changing. We must be traveling at a very high speed. I have not noticed absolutely anything from this inside the gigantic ship that tells me that it is moving." I guess this is perhaps... No, I'll continue. "Now we are all three sitting in very comfortable seats inside the horseshoe-shaped console. On the image screens, all the planets of our sun system can be seen, whereby I also see once again Jupiter. It has a fine ring similar to the rings of Saturn. But rings are also visible on planets from outside of the solar system, as well as numerous large and small stars, nebula, and many other things in vast space. I am overwhelmed by how diverse and fantastic everything is. And now the constellations suddenly dart away. We must be moving through the universe at enormous speed." So these are Billy's thoughts. And then he asks Ptah something. "Ptah, how fast are we going?" And Ptah explains how to read the gauges on the ship. And eventually Billy realizes that the ship is traveling at this point 289,000 kilometers per second. Okay. Well, they continue to discuss things, and they discuss this language computer inside the ship and how fantastic this thing, and this thing can send your brain impulses. And your brain will pick up impulses of a specific language, even though that language may not be spoken. You will hear, for example, English or Greek, based on the impulses that the computer's ship sends out. Okay. One of the things they're discussing, Patah, Billy, and Semyase, is some of the information that Billy gets. And this is rather strange to explain. I talked a little bit about the Kings of Wisdom and the evolutionary steps that human beings go through. Well, there are 7 evolutionary steps that human societies go through. We here on the Earth are in the 2nd stage, which is called rational life. Before that is primitive life. After that, our stage is intelligent life, which is what we're moving into here on the Earth. The 4th stage of human life is called real life. And a couple of very interesting things happen at this stage is that human civilizations start to master space travel. So they learn to jump from star to star systems and use what's called hyperspace or null time so that those great distances can be traveled in a fraction of a second. Well, another thing that human societies do at the 4th stage is they become very effective genetic engineers. And they can literally create life, so to speak. For example, the central computer in Semyase's ship is a biological intelligence. It's sentient. She can communicate with it telepathically. So essentially, her beam ship is a living creature with a metallic hull, which again is very strange for us to wrap our minds around at our level of evolution. Well, the step beyond the 4th level, real life, is called life and creational wisdom. And at that level, people have tremendous abilities in their material consciousness. I mean, they can do telekinesis and telepathy, teleportation, all sorts of amazing abilities. And some people at that level eventually start to all the way move up to what's called the King of Wisdom or the Ishwish. Patah is a King of Wisdom, as I said earlier. It's level 5. Now, level 6 is where we lose the need for a material body. So at that stage, we're half spiritual and half physical. And then finally, in the 7th stage, we become completely spiritual again, and we need no physical body. Now, the 1st stage of the 7th stage is called Arahat Atrasada. And Billy is getting information from that level of existence. Arahat Atrasada, and he's very uncomfortable with the information he's getting because they speak of him in extremely complimentary terms, and that makes him very uncomfortable. Let me continue here with what Billy says here. Billy says, "And there you go again. I just don't understand you. You are like Arahat Atrasada, who always threw flowering shrubs as well." Semyase says, "Why?" "Well, he paints me as a great prophet," speaking of Patah, I guess. "It's just as if I had been shoveled full of wisdom. I find that vain and inappropriate. These kind of speeches annoy me because they really don't fit my frame. If anyone wants to work me over, then he should call a spade and explain that I am no more and no less than one who just receives and passes on what is transmitted to me by you or by Arahat Atrasada. I'm really not a prophet at all. These sweeping speeches of Arahat Atrasada in particular have already brought me up the wall somehow. And for this reason, I have turned into an anti-contact with this plane for the time being. I have suppressed the voices and not written another single line from the source." So Billy's getting these messages from Arahat Atrasada. He's not writing them down anymore, and he's suppressing this information. "I must first deliberate whether I want to continue doing this work. It's very awkward and strange for me that I should stand as a great prophet, because I could never be that. If I were to continue doing this, then my fellow human beings would eventually accuse me of deceit and megalomania and revile me as a liar. So Semyase begins to talk, and then Patah interrupts her and says, "In place of Semyase, I would like to explain these things for you. Namely, that as a primary factor, it's very unfortunate that you have interrupted the contact with Arahadath Rasada." So these Plearen are trying to understand better why Billy has stopped this contact with Arahadath Rasada. And they go on to discuss this in a little more depth. Well, as I said yesterday, I'm going to continue to touch on this contact, I hope, in the future, and we're going to continue to talk about it. To give a really quick overview of what happens here, which I kind of did yesterday as well, is that they jump through space again to an area, I think it's in the Lyra Vega system, where the Ring Nebula is, which is called, the Ring Nebula is also called JHWH Mata, or the Eye of God. And it's a symbol in space. It's actually a star was destroyed in the ancient past by one of these kings of wisdom, I guess during some kind of war that was going on. And for the Plearen, it's a symbol of destruction and death, and it's a symbol of how low man can fall in his activities. Well, Billy notices that when they make these jumps, that he feels this sense of incredible peace and joy. So they're going to do one extensive jump. Not that they're really going anywhere extremely far, but they're going to stay in what's called hyperspace for like 7 minutes, just to, so he has that extended feeling of peace and joy and happiness while he's in hyperspace there. So they do this, and it's an incredible experience for Billy. He's never had in his life an experience like that. It's just incredible, the peace and the happiness that he feels. And eventually they come out of the jump, and when they travel from point A to point B through the space, the ship kind of turns into a pure energy state, as does everyone in the ship, and then they rematerialize at another location. So they were 7 minutes in that dematerialized state in hyperspace, and Billy experiences that union with the universal consciousness, with creation. And it's an incredible joy he feels. When he comes out of that, it's also an incredible letdown to come back into the material state. Which, this is an experience that he carried with him for the rest of his life, a tremendous experience. They also traveled to the very edge of our universe, to what's called the universal barrier. There's a barrier between our universe and the Tao universe, which is a kind of a parallel twin sister universe, which was created at the same time. When the Big Bang occurred, we had two universes form, our Dern, D-E-R-N universe, and the Tao universe. This occurred, according to the Meyer material, 46 trillion years ago. Well, when they get to this universal barrier, the mothership stops. Billy and Semyase get into the beam ship, travel through the universal barrier in contact, and Billy's able to talk again with Asket, which was his second contact. Asket is a woman from the Tao universe. She is a member of the race called the Timmers, which share a common ancestor with the Plearen. These are the Lyrians, So Billy has this great reunion with Askett. And eventually, after that, they take him back to Switzerland, where Billy then literally has to sleep for like 2 days because he's been gone for quite some time and he's extremely exhausted. After these contacts, typically what will happen is Semyonov's ship will transmit the information to him telepathically, and he'll type this up at like 60 words a minute with one hand. And hence we have Contact 31, which I've covered the first 35 pages in a couple of shows now. Hopefully we'll just step through the rest of this contact. I just gave a quick summary of 10 pages. And Billy has written, I think, over 600 of these contact notes now. You can go out to, there's a website that was put up by a guy named James Moore. It's very helpful. It's called the www.futureofmankind.co.uk. Or you can just Google search Billy space Meyer space Wiki. And then you can look around on this website and find the contact reports, the spiritual teachings, and much other information. The books that I was telling you about, I would like to talk a little bit about some information. One of the books I mentioned earlier was called The Psyche. The Psyche is a very technical book. And one of the things that it introduces in the first 20 or 30 pages is some terms which are very important in understanding the spiritual life. The first term that I want to cover is called the psyche. The psyche is the block or the factor which controls the thoughts and the feelings associated with the material consciousness. Well, what does that mean? We all have a material consciousness, which includes your subconscious mind, your conscious mind, your unconscious mind. It's how we think, you know. But we also have something called the spiritual consciousness. And that spiritual consciousness is related to something called the spirit form. Now, at 21 days of age, when you were a fetus in your mother's womb, you were 21 days of age, you really didn't have any kind of consciousness yet. You were like a plant. You were on impulses, plant-like impulses. Then the spirit form came in to your brain. The spirit form enters, it's a normal function. At a certain time in the life of the fetus, it automatically happens. A spirit form will get pulled into that fetus. And it goes into an area of your brain, in the midbrain, called the superior colliculus. The spirit form is called the Geist form in the German, and it's no bigger than the head of a pen, but it has tremendous power associated with it. And it sends out this lattice structure of energy throughout your whole body. And your heart starts to beat, and your nervous system becomes functional at that time. Also with the spirit form comes in your material consciousness, which is what I was talking about before. And you get a personality then, a conscious, a subconscious, and an unconscious mind. And the fetus starts to think after the spirit form comes in. Also, deep within your subconscious, are the memories of your predecessor personalities. You've lived many lives, believe it or not, millions of lives, and the memories of those lives are buried in your subconsciousness. Most people on the earth have reincarnated 4 to 5 million years. Now, there's some older spirit forms that are came here in spacecraft, actually, in lifetimes as human beings, died on the earth, entered into the reincarnational patterns of the earth. Those spirit forms, those geist forms, are between 8 and 12 million years old. But those memories are not accessible, generally speaking, until we get to what's called the age of recognitions, which is far, far millions of years into the future, back in the fifth stage of life and creational wisdom. Then we'll start to be able to put the pieces together of all of our previous lifetimes. The point of all these reincarnations is what happens is this universal consciousness creates spirit forms as a part of its own evolution. It creates these little clusters of spirit forms, and they live material lifetimes, and then they die, and then they take the information associated with that lifetime back into the spiritual realm. That information is processed, strengthens the spirit form. The direct memories are stored into the new subconscious, because before each lifetime, you'll get a new personality and a new consciousness. And then the spirit form goes back in, along with the material consciousness, back into the body of another child of 21 days. And then you go back through the whole process of learning and growing up again. And that will be your next lifetime and your next evolutionary cycle. And each time, each lifetime, you'll move a little higher up the consciousness evolution scale. And after all of these millions of years of reincarnating, you will lose the need for a physical body, and you'll eventually move all through all these spiritual planes and merge back with creation. And then creation, the universal consciousness, will benefit from your wisdom, your experiences, and your knowledge, and it will take the knowledge of all these spirit forms from all these lifetimes and all these different worlds at different times, and it will merge them in the universal consciousness. So that way, the universal consciousness improves its evolution. This is a process called striving. Everything in the universe has to continue to strive, to work, to increase their evolution. Even plants and animals, to survive, have to strive. And it's a creational natural law. And the more you strive, and there's probably a limit to everything, but the more you strive, it tends to decrease the suffering in your life. If you refuse to strive at all, it's a creational natural law that suffering will go up in your life. So this cycle, this reincarnational cycle, is what happens for millions and millions and millions of years. Now, Billy's spirit form, these extraterrestrials, they refer to it by name because they know this spirit form has incarnated before, not only on the earth, but on other worlds, in millions and millions and millions of years ago, even in other galaxies. And it's always been this teacher. It will come out as a teacher and a prophet. Now, as we've been discussing in Contact Report 31, the material consciousness is not aware of all of these things. And it takes time. And it takes many, it takes years sometimes for the material consciousness to finally reorient itself. Because you start out as a baby, knowing nothing, again, and you have to go back through. Although spiritually your evolution has left off at the previous lifetime's evolution when you come back. Let me read something here about the psyche. Material consciousness-based feeling and the material consciousness-based thoughts in itself in negative and positive sequence, from which results a negative or positive unequalizedness or a neutral positive equalizedness. So, the Meyer material always teaches about this neutral positive equalized state that we want to get our minds into. Because that leads us to productive thinking and productive living. Now, there's something in your spirit form, in your Geist form, that controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. It's called the Gemut. And what the book Psyche says about this is the Gemut is referred to as the spiritual block and factor which within the spirit body of a life form, and we all have a life, we all have a spirit body. In this case, the human being regulates and looks after the spirit consciousness-based feelings and the spirit consciousness thoughts in itself. Now, what's different between the psyche and the Gemut is the Gemut cannot be influenced by negative powers. It cannot have negative thoughts, but it can only have neutral positive thoughts, which therefore means that only powers corresponding to an equalized form of positive and negative penetrate into the Gemut. So the Gemut is always in this equalized harmony, whereas your material consciousness can think very negative thoughts, or very positive thoughts, both of which are unbalanced and are not healthy. You see, good thoughts lead to good feelings, which lead to good habits, which lead to good circumstances. You are the master of your own life circumstances. You are the master of your own destiny. You can control the circumstances in your life, but it has to start out with controlling your thoughts. Your thoughts have to be neutral positive. And when your thoughts race out into the expanse of the universe, they will gather with them other thoughts of like kind. So if you think a good, neutral, positive thought, it will go out into the universe and it will come back to you strengthened as a good, neutral, positive thought. And that's very beneficial for you. That will increase your happiness. It will increase your sense of well-being. It will put you in a state of calmness. It will make you more effective at your striving, whatever your job is, whatever you're doing on that particular day. So you need to learn this skill of neutral positive thinking, and that's what's taught in the Meyer information here. And the Gemut is always neutral positive. So the Gemut always exhibits an equalized harmony from which the half-material psyche profits to a certain extent, because the Gemut supplies it with harmonious swinging waves in the necessary amounts. There is something called the swinging wave, which comes from the spiritual consciousness to the half-material psyche. And the psyche benefits from that. These swinging waves originate from the realm of cosmo-electromagnetic life energy. Whoa, that's profound. Contrary to the material consciousness, which is able to create negative as well as positive, and also neutral positive thoughts, the spirit consciousness operates only in the form of equalized and thus neutral positive form. This is page 12 of my version of the Psyche, by the way. I think I read the first 20 pages 12 times or 13 times to really absorb this. Therefore, the negative and positive are harmoniously equalized and also create a corresponding harmony which the gamut absorbs and works with, and indeed in both the spiritual as well as the material realm. Okay, so you have a psyche and you have a gamut. The psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material thinking. The gamut controls the thoughts and the feelings of your spiritual consciousness. The gamut supplies the psyche with these swinging waves of energy that benefit the psyche to a certain extent. The gamut can only think in neutral positive forms. It can only have thoughts and feelings that are in the neutral positive form. And the gamut has no direct connection with the material body, which is very interesting. And then, also not, when the human being, well, I don't want to get into that. That will just take us off track a little bit here. But we have the psyche and the gamut. And these are two important things to remember. Now, we also have the mentality. With the mentality block, which is half material, but also of spiritual nature, as it occurs in the material realm as well as the spiritual realm. Now, the Meyer material, as far as I can recall, doesn't talk about the mentality as much. But they do talk about feelings. And I talked earlier and I said, good thoughts lead to good feelings. Feelings grow slowly. Feelings should be nurtured. You should not suppress your feelings. You should allow them to grow. That's a part of your evolution. Feelings are not emotions. Emotions rage up quickly and can cause you big problems. Feelings should be allowed to grow. Let me hear what the book here has to say about feelings. Feelings are impulsations which also originate from sensual physical impulses, but also from drives and instincts formed from the psychic consciousness-based currents and also purely from conditions of the personality. Depending on the utilization of the energy at hand, that is also essential to the feeling formation. The duration and depth is determined as also the intensity and the realness, and as well as the uncomplicatedness and the degree of tension of the relative feeling forms. Feelings are both primal and unavoidable, but can also be traced back to the psyche consciousness-based and purely physical as well as environmental processes. Very interesting, very profound material. The book, The Psyche, is really some very, very, very important information here. There's something that the Meyer information calls the Empfinden, which is the spiritual sensitive fine feeling. It's what we get from observation. When we really learn the ability to observe nature. And it says here, the Empfinden is a purely spiritual process of the spiritual gamut, and that does not belong to the physical body. You know, when the Meyer material talks about love, the Empfinden, it's this fine spiritual perception. And love is related to this Empfinden. There are many different kinds of love. There's love that's effective and affective. Affective love is the unstable kind of love that's more romantic in nature. Effective is love that you can feel for all plants and animals and people. And it's related to the fact and the realization that we're all connected in a way that we don't really understand on this earth yet. In fact, the Meyer material talks about something called the we form. And I was reading that today in the book called The Way to Live. I should have probably paid a little more attention to that. The we form seems to be this concept that we are all connected in ways that we just really don't quite understand just yet. But love, in the Meyer information, is said, love is the highest principle in all creation. And everything follows that principle of love in absolute logic, except the human being, because we can turn away from love. But every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. In fact, the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And creation radiates love. And in Billy's book called The Goblet of Truth, it says that rivers, stones, plants, animals, bushes, trees, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. And these spirit forms are on a journey through time, which involve many, many lifetimes. And that death is just the passage to rebirth. Rebirth into the world of pure spirit. And again, this book that I've been reading called The Way to Live describes how we should also study death. And if we study death, then we can start to recognize that death is nothing to be feared, and death is a natural process, and that the spiritual consciousness survives the death. I'll see if I can come across something related to that. There are so many important principles in all of these books. Let me read something here that goes back to the swinging wave that we talked about earlier. Time is a swinging wave which interweaves everything and glides gently and undetectably from ego to ego, and through the endless space, during the course of which the human being lives, acts, learns, and passes again. The human being also learns morality. But if in his learning in life, he or she only props himself up on that, and only clothes herself with that as with a garment, then he or she has fallen prey to a one-sided morals, which are estranged from the truth. Therefore, it would be better for him/her if she went around completely naked, to let his or her skin be tanned by the wind and the sun so that it becomes more natural and resistant. Because if a human being limits his or her life in its developmental change through a teaching of morality, which is estranged from creation, he/she is like one who cuts a songbird's wings. And what I think he's saying there is that if you follow a moral code in a legalistic way that has no concept of spirituality, you'll hurt your own evolution. You'll hurt your own consciousness evolution. Now, this is also something that is interesting. The human being ought to take care and be prudent regarding his or her body, his well-being and consciousness, exactly as if he/she stood at the edge of a deep abyss, or as if he or she moved on thin ice. Because it is impossible to sufficiently fulfill the evolution without the body and the consciousness being cared for. So we need to care for our consciousness. We need to care for our body as well. Okay, meditating. Meditating is the way to the self-cognition into the inner and outer satisfaction and freedom. Okay, here's a good meditative principle, and this will kind of get us back on track. I bring my consciousness home. I let go of everything. I relax myself. These are 3 points, 3 fundamentals in meditation. I bring my consciousness home. Bringing the consciousness home means that through meditatively practiced attentiveness, it's put back into that neutral, positive, calm state. Letting go of everything means that your uncontrolled thoughts have been stopped. You've stopped that uncontrolled negative rotation of thoughts. And the third point, I relax myself, ultimately means to dissolve the tenseness of the consciousness. So I bring my consciousness home, I let go of everything, I relax myself. So meditation is a way to self-cognition, to inner and outer satisfaction. So the Meyer material talks about learning to control our thoughts, because controlling our thoughts is the key to controlling the circumstances in our life. It's also the key, one of the keys to your physical health is controlling your thoughts, because negative, uncontrolled thoughts have a horrible impact on your health. And the purpose of our life is to evolve our consciousness, to gather wisdom. Wisdom is a kind of power that produces energy. It's a kind of knowledge that produces energy. And when we produce the energy associated with wisdom, we help the whole creation to evolve. You see, that's our role as human beings, is helping the whole creation to evolve. Your point, your reason for living is evolving your consciousness. And evolving your consciousness involves controlling and nurturing good, positive, healthy thoughts. Because good thoughts lead to good feelings lead to good habits lead to good circumstances in your life, because you are the master of your own life. And the thoughts you put out will come back to you in a strengthened form. So pay very, very close attention. Analyze your thoughts. One thing that Sannyasi said to Billy on the 10th contact was that every person has within them a spirit, and that the spirit does not die, it does not sleep. It records everything you do, all of your impulsations, and it will tell you if your thoughts are right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. And remember, your feelings generally follow your thoughts. So if you've had a thought and you sense suddenly a negative feeling, go back and address that thought that preceded it, because it may be in the cause of the negative feeling that you had. Now, we reincarnate on the earth for some 42 million years in a physical body. And we go through all of these 5 stages of evolution. And eventually, we will finish the need for material body, and then we move into the 6th stage of evolution, which is half physical and half spiritual. Now let me read this section, which talks in the psyche about the age of the spirit forms on the earth. Because the human beings of earth themselves, these created on earth, are still so young that regarding their evolution, they are only beginning to change their baby shoes. While the human beings on earth, who originally came from the far reaches of outer space, only have a total age of 8 to 12 million years. So the native earth humans have about 4 to 5 million year old spirit form, your spiritual consciousness, your gamut, where people who came here in the past, died, entered into the reincarnational patterns of earth, have been around 8 to 12 million years. Now eventually, the Maya material explains here that we will have to leave the earth in order to finish our evolution. Therefore, the human being of Earth is not yet in the position to comprehend all the nuances and forms of the feelings. Remember, we were talking about feelings before. And so these will remain inaccessible to the human beings for a still very long time. When the human being of Earth will be able to do so, then he/she will already have long left the Earth and will be living somewhere else on different planets, because the blue planet will not exist as long as a human being needs for his evolution. Well, maybe that'll be a good place. I'll stop a little bit early today. Certainly have thrown a lot of material at you. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we will catch you next weekend. Have a good afternoon.